I'm just, I don't know about you, but I just got to take a breath. Wow, what a performance. That was a blessing. Beautiful music. And you can tell these guys have not just been practicing it, but they've been worshiping through it. And they've been praying over it. And there was just an element of worship in it that was incredible. Amen? It really was good. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn with me now to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're going to begin reading here in verse 12, and we're going to take it through verse 26. And we're preparing our hearts to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And as you turn to that passage, let me just remind you that we are a church that practices what is called open communion. What do you mean by open communion? Well, versus closed communion. Open communion basically says if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have followed the Lord in believer's baptism, right, and you're not in your home church, but you're in this church today, we invite you to participate in the ordinance of observing the Lord's Supper. Well, I've got children here with me, Pastor, and I've got maybe an individual that hasn't received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It's okay. Just tell them this is what saved, baptized folks do, and I'll talk to you later about how to receive Jesus Christ. Or they may even get saved this very service. Amen? You never can tell. Amen? So Mark chapter 14, let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, beginning in verse 12. Mark chapter 14, Jesus celebrates the Passover with His disciples. Mark 14, verse 12. The Word of God reads, it says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?' And He sent them out, He sent out two of His disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there. Make ready for us.'" Verse 16. "So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me.' And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, 'Is it I?' And another said, 'Is it I?' He answered and said to them, 'It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born.'" Verse 22, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many.'" Verse 25, "Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time, and we thank you, Lord, that we are able to assemble this Christmas season. That we have a sense, at least in this place today, at least in this church today, we have a sense of what this time is about. So we celebrate the birth of our wonderful Lord and Savior, and then as we remember His death, we are so blessed and privileged to be in the Word today, to partake of the elements together, to hear of the wonderful message of the songs that were sung. We praise you. We worship you. We pray for those that don't know you, maybe even in attendance here today, that you might convict them in such a way that they'll not be able to leave this place until they receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It's in your sweet name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessings to it. Boy, when we think about Christmas, boy, the memories begin to come, don't they? Our fondest memories often come from some of our most favorite times in life. If I took a survey of the children here today, probably some of their most favorite times in life would be what? Christmas time, right? Or that last day of school time, right? Or when they got their first bicycle time. But it would, I'm sure some of them would come back to this idea of Christmas. Some of you, even some of you older, more mature saints here today, some of you probably have some awesome Christmas memories. I've got a few of my own. These times are filled with special people. These times are, we remember special places. We think about the special decorations. How many of you have ever strung popcorn on a string to go around a tree? Anybody ever do that? Wasn't that fun? Amen? Now, how many of you, when nobody was looking, snuck up and ate a little bit of it? Amen? Yeah, get your hand up, right? Those are special times, right? Man, that's great time. Eating the popcorn off the tree, right? It's a little stale, but it's still popcorn, right? It's like the tree that just keeps on giving, right? The special decorations, the special smells. Oh, man. I mean, boy, we could go on there. Well, we think of Christmas, we think of family. We think of the family of God. We think of church today. We think of how we've sung these songs, and I love how the songs built all the way to the cross, right? All the way to the cross, the music built. All the way to the fact that He is with us. That is incredible. For the family of God, one of our fondest memories, one of our most fondest memories is the pinnacle of Jesus' suffering. Wow, that's an incredible memory. The death of our Savior on the cross and the events leading up to the crucifixion. Praise God, we are on the resurrection side of it. Amen? And we can look back to the victory of it. The victory of the cross, and we can celebrate today the memorial of remembrance as we gather as a church and a body of Christ at the table this morning. When we think about memorials, when we think about remembrance, for many the concept of a memorial seems old. Well, some of us are old, that's okay. Sometimes it seems a little dull. It doesn't seem as hip as it should. It's not a cool thing when we talk about memorial. Oh, but dear church, it's not just something for the history buffs. A memorial's not just something for cold winter nights to kick around and think about when we can't get out and do anything else. The concept of memorial in a biblical sense, in a biblical context, is a very different thing than what we think about in our culture. In Hebrew thought, the concept of memorial is a past act with a present reality. Past act with a present reality. The Passover Supper was such a memorial of God's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. Oh, they look forward to this Passover time each and every year. They would end the Passover Seder one year, and they would begin to think about the Passover Seder the very next year. See, a biblical memorial is about reliving the past of how God worked. Of how God worked mightily so that we can be renewed for today and readied for tomorrow. Such a memorial was established by Jesus on His last night with His closest followers. And that's what I want to share a few points with you about this passage here this morning. If you're taking notes and you're thinking this through and you're attempting to prepare your heart to receive the elements, let me communicate four things to you. Point number one would simply be this. We see the preparation for the new feast. The preparation for the new feast. Look at verses 12, and we'll go all the way through 16 with it in Mark chapter 14. It says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?'" Verse 13, "And He sent out two of His disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared there, make ready for us. So his disciples went out, came into the city, and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. It's amazing. Jesus says it, it happens, doesn't it? Just as he said it was. I mean, there it is. When we think about the preparation of this Seder, this Jewish Seder, we think about the Passover. Preparation began most likely early Thursday. It began most likely early Thursday, and it included things like this. There's got to be a lamb. We've got to have a room in order to assemble. There's unleavened cakes. There's wine. And when I talk about wine, I mean unfermented grape juice. We're not about to get our drunk on here. This is unfermented grape juice. Water, bitter herbs, crushed fruit moistened with vinegar. A lot of tastes, a lot of different scents, a lot of fragrances floating in the air as they would prepare for the Passover feast. Some of you can relate as you are getting ready. Let me say it like this. Some of you ladies can relate as you are getting ready for Christmas Day family dinners. All the ladies chime in. They know. Spiral cut hams. Well, we're going to smoke a brisket this year. Well, we're going to do another turkey one more time. We just had it, but let's have one more turkey. Fruit salad. Boy, there'll be a lot of fruit cut up here. A lot of fruit. Cheese dip. How many of you like that cheese dip? Amen? Oh, that cheese dip's good. Jackie McBride, boy, that girl got a good cheese dip. I tell you what, she can do the cheese dip. It's great. Cheese dip, all kinds of desserts. Finger foods, salty foods, sweet foods. Foods kind of in the middle, right? I mean, your whole palate. All kinds of pop. All kinds of tea. Bottled water. Unfiltered water. Filtered water. And don't forget Kenneth's favorite, apple cider, right? Got to have that apple cider. And some of you even want a stick of cinnamon in it when you pour it in your cup. You can relate to that kind of preparation, what was going on. That's the preparation of the new feast. Secondly, this morning, let's talk about the purification for the new feast, verses 17 through 21. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. Verse 21, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. The Passover meal is disrupted by who? By none other than Jesus Christ. He's officiating it. He's going through the steps of the Jewish Seder. And then he himself interrupts it. Jesus' words are words that reach out to his friends. Jesus' words, as he interrupts the Passover, are words that reach out to the betrayer. They are words that reach out to the disciples. And what he's wanting these folks to consider several things. What are the things he's wanting them to consider? Number one, their relationship to Jesus. Number two, their trust in Jesus. Number three, their love that they have for him, Jesus. And number four, their commitment. Their commitment to Jesus. And so we pause and we look at the passage and we ask the question here, what is going on? What was Jesus doing here in verse 18? What is this all about? Friends, he was giving his disciples, Jesus was giving his disciples a heart exam. And one of them failed the exam. Judas Iscariot failed the exam. I don't know about you, but I come from a quite large family. And there's been a few times not every year, but there's been a few times where there have just been some weird occurrences and happenings. I missed one, I want to say it was either Thanksgiving or Christmas. We were living out of state. I was pastoring in Kansas, and it finally got to me a couple of weeks after that there was a huge fist-fighting brawl between my dad's sister's sons. They just had a huge fighting brawl. They just had all this, I guess, pent-up tension, and they thought, and it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, that was the time to settle it, right? You know those kinds of interruptions I'm talking about, right? The uncle that you haven't seen for years, he comes to the family gathering, but he's three sheets to the wind drunk, right? Stumbling in, or that third cousin twice removed comes in and shares that she just feels like this Christmas gathering or Thanksgiving gathering is the time that she needs to share that she's in this same-sex relationship and she's coming out of the closet. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe I'm the only one with a dysfunctional family. No, okay. Feeling a little scared up here. All right. Well, this might be the year that your festivities are interrupted, not by the drunk uncle or the same-sex marriage, third cousin twice removed. But maybe this is the year that your festivities are interrupted by you or another concerned Christian family member for the lostness of another family member. Maybe this is the year where you want to take somebody aside and share the good gospel message of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, they'll be offended. Pastor, we may not see them again for a year. Pastor, we may not see them again for several years. Is their salvation worth it? And I would say it is. I would say it is. Right? Will you step up, Christian family member? Will you stand up and be counted on to share? In other words, will you take and pass the exam? Amen? We've talked about the preparation for the new feast, the purification for the new feast. Thirdly, today, if you're taking notes with me, there is the purpose of the new feast. We find that in verses 22 through 24, which is where we will be when we begin to observe the elements specifically. Verse 22 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Following Judas's departure, that last Passover Seder became the institution of the new covenant ordinance, praise the Lord, known as the Lord's Supper. And so every 12 weeks, every 3 months, once a quarter, we get together as a congregation and as a pastor, and we stand up here and we talk about, what does the bread mean? What does the bread mean? Verse 22, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Oh, what a beautiful verse. What a beautiful verse in the inerrant Word of God. The breaking of bread is symbolic of Jesus Christ's body. But think about how we apply it. Think about the application of the breaking of bread as symbolic of Christ's body. Jesus took the bread. Jesus broke the bread. Jesus gave the bread. Then Jesus commanded us to partake personally of what He provided. Oh, friend. Of what He provided. All must partake of Jesus if we want to sever the bondage of sin. Oh, friend, if you're here today and you believe some things about Jesus, but you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never done that, you're in bondage to sin. And your own personal sin is going to drag you to a place the Bible calls hell. I'm not trying to scare you today with hellfire. I just want to be honest with you today. That's where you're heading without Christ. That's where you go without Jesus. Friend, I want to tell you, all must partake of Jesus if we want to sever the bondage of sin. The bread at the disciples' table that night commemorated the severance of the old life in Egypt. That's what it was about, the Jewish Passover. We're not in bondage anymore. We got delivered. We're free. And we're going to celebrate every year. We're going to have this Jewish Passover. We're going to kill a lamb, celebrating our deliverance. Oh, and Jesus takes that, spins it, and His authority and His sovereignty, and now it is a meal for the New Testament church commemorating our deliverance from the bondage of sin. Oh, I love it. I love it. I get fired up about it every 3 months. Come back 3 months from now, I'll be just as fired up. Never get tired of preaching it. Love it, love it, love it. What does the cup mean here? Verse 23, then He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And He said to them, this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Jesus now takes the cup of blessing to institute the second aspect of remembering His own death. This cup remembered God's redemption. His redemption, which looks not so much to what was, but to a new life. As God's children, founded on the past and yet focused on the future, we celebrate today a new family. Oh, friend, we celebrate new relationships. We celebrate today new power for living. We celebrate today a privilege to be called a Christian. We celebrate today a position as a son or daughter of the living God, and the church says, amen. This cup is Jesus' seal of His work, which guarantees to us a new covenant, a new agreement through His death to cover our sin. A covenant empowered by the very Spirit of God. But we see the preparation of the new feast. We see the purification of the new feast. We see the purpose of the new feast. But finally today, we see the power, the Holy Spirit, sovereign of God. He's in control, power of the new feast. Verse 25. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Jesus has had His last Passover Seder for a long time. Jesus has had His last observance of the Lord's Supper for a long, long time. You understand what we celebrate when we come around the table, when we take the lids off, and we pass the elements out, and we get into this time of methodical thinking about, focused, looking at. We are celebrating the turning point of the universe, the turning point of all time, the turning point of the ages when God came down and lived among us and lived a perfect life and climbed up on a cross and allowed men to pierce His body and to snatch His beard and to spit upon Him and to beat Him about the face and to thrust a crown of thorns on His head. For me and you, that's the turning point of everything. The power of the new feast. It also draws our attention as we think about the second advent. Oh, He's coming back. See, our eating and drinking draws our thoughts towards a wonderful chapter in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19, and the heavenly celebration which is described there with Jesus at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Oh, it's going to be a glorious time, church. So as we celebrate until that day, we eagerly look forward to Jesus' second coming. This celebration of remembrance also reminds us this is not our home. We are simply passing through. We are a pilgrim community. We are just trying to show others the truth of God's Word and dispense as much gospel as we can get out there while we are physically able until He calls us all home. That's who we are. That's what we do, serving Jesus until He comes. So we bow our heads, and as we close our eyes, our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to remember, to reflect, think about the goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. And Lord, as we get ready to open the altars and have a time of invitation, Lord, the choir has sung. They've sung the truth. They've led us in worship in the truth of Your Word. Your Word has been preached. Your Word has gone forth today. Lord, is there one here among us that doesn't know You? Lord, they don't know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, what a beautiful time of the year. What an appropriate service to walk an aisle for Jesus. Lord, let them let go today. Let them let go of themselves trying to be good enough, trying to earn their way of Your approval. Lord, may they just simply let go of that pew today and walk an aisle for Christ today. Oh, we're not trying to put their faith on spectacle. We're not trying to parade them around like a circus. But Lord, you were nailed to a tree for all to see against Your adversaries. And Lord, we're just inviting a brother or a sister to take a few steps of testimony and find out what it means to take Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, may none of us leave here lost today. May we all be counted as saved. Lord, there are others that need to come and pray, and the altars are certainly open. Lord, others may need to come and join the church. Others may have received Christ this past week, past month, past year, but they've never made it public. And they need to follow You in believer's baptism. In a few moments, as we take a little bit of time for invitation, may we honor You today with decisions that are worthy of who You are. It's in Your name we pray. God's people said, You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Karen and Jeremiah are going to lead us in a time of invitation. The altars are open. You come and pray. You need to receive Christ. You come today. Join the church. You come. Amen. Thank you. You folks may be seated. God bless you. All right. We have one decision for you this morning, or two decisions, or one family decision, two individual decisions. We'll figure it out in a minute. Amen. This is James and Becky Woods. James and Becky, you come, and they desire a membership into this church by a letter from a sister church in the area. And if you're excited about them desiring to unite with this church family in membership, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
All right. Very good. Thank the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to let them go back to their seats. We're going to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And then at the end of the service, James and Becky, we'll have you at the back. And as people come out, they give you the right hand of fellowship. Amen? All right, welcome. Welcome, Brother James. Miss Becky. Very good. Deacons, if you'll come and begin to prepare the elements. This is a As these men come and prepare the elements, you're still more than welcome to come to this altar. If you want to take the elements down in this altar, you're more than welcome to do that. These men are going to bring the elements to you if you're seated. But please feel like you have the freedom to come and pray, come and pour your heart out to the Lord. We don't want to hold you back. You say, well, I'm going to be up there behind that pulpit, and there's just something in your heart. You need to come and receive Jesus today. You're not going to bother me if you walk up that platform and say, Pastor, will you tell me about Christ? You don't have to wait till the end of the service. God's telling you to come, you come, right? You say, well, the invitation is stuck. The invitation is 24-7 here. 24-7. All right? All right, man. Thank you. Well, friend, let me tell you something. The God of the universe, He loves you. Amen. He came down and took on a human form to live a perfect life, to take your place on a cross. He paid a debt He did not owe, to cover a debt we could not pay. We're blessed beyond measure. Let's thank Him today, and then after we thank Him, we're going to partake of the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for sending Your Son. And Jesus, we're thankful for Your obedience to the call. And Holy Spirit, we're blessed for Your presence here with us this morning. The tie that binds. We're all held together. We're all held in love, sealed for the day of redemption. You gave Your body as an offering. You were the Passover lamb. You were the lamb slain, led to the slaughter, just for us. We thank You for giving Your life for the sins of humanity in the body, in this bread, and what it represents. May we remember in such a special and specific way that it brings about change in how we live, how we talk, our thought life, our motives, and everything about us until we do this again. We love You and we praise You. And God's people said, amen. Let's see, there's some groups of folks that take this cup a little far, and they teach that this, when we actually take the bread and the juice, it actually turns into the actual body, the actual blood of Jesus Christ. I think that's a little out there. I don't think Scripture teaches that. Then there are some groups on the other end of the spectrum that treat this as simply a ritual. Friend, let me tell you something. This is a reality. This is real today. Jesus is in the midst of us through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, and because you're here, Jesus is here. He doesn't get to drink this. He's waiting on the day when He does. There is power in this ordinance. There's a beautiful remembrance at the baptism when somebody gets baptized. There's an incredible remembrance and power that is contained in this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. You can always tell when a moderate or a liberal is leading this, because this thing about the blood, just real quick, real, you know, we just kind of get through it. You know, we don't want to gross people out. You know, we're talking about blood. Friend. Oh, you know, blood, you know, the liberal theologians, moderates, they'll just say, well, you know, that's what animals bled, and so, you know, it's just kind of been transposed. Jesus bled blood on the cross. Amen. The precious blood of the Lamb. That's what the Bible says covers my sin. Amen. That's what makes us heirs. Makes us sons and daughters today. We praise Him for it. Let's look at the Word, and then we'll thank Him for the cup, and then we'll partake. Verse 23, then He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them. They all drank from it. And He said to them, this is My blood of the new covenant, of a new agreement, of a new contract. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the cup today. We're thankful for it represents. We're thankful for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, shed His blood for those here in attendance today, for all of humanity. He spilled His blood out on the ground, sacrificially allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross and dripped His life-giving blood out. As His heart pumped, as His heart was squeezed because of the sins of humanity, past, present, and future, the blood of our wonderful Lord and Savior that did His body and pulled on the ground at the foot of the cross. We're blessed today. We remember today. And as we remember, may we be challenged, may we be encouraged, may we be convicted to live the new covenant before all to see. May we be a church on the offense, not a huddled up group of scared believers on the defense. May we take the gospel to the highways and the byways, the church, the schoolyard, the workplace, the neighborhood, the family gathering. Everywhere we can get the gospel in, may we be faithful to do it. We are compelled today. We are so loved. Thank You for the blessing of life, of church family, of times like these. We thank You for the cup. It's in Your name we pray. God's people said, amen. May we partake. Praise God and amen and hallelujah and glory. And He's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you at this time. If I can get a couple of you back there in the back with an open Bible. We're going to sing a hymn to close the service. Verse 26 says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I don't have a Mount of Olives for you to go to, but I do have a hymn that we're going to sing. There'll be a couple of men in the back with open Bibles. They're taking up an offering for a benevolence fund for those that are down on their luck, church family, church members that need a hand up. We have a benevolence fund. We take it every observance of the Lord's Supper. And also, if Becky and James Woods, if they would make their way to the back, and as they stand next to these two men, as you come by and put your offering in, you give them the right hand of fellowship. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And after we sing, we'll be dismissed. Miss Karen, Brother Jeremiah.
I will sing page 253 in your hymnal, Silent Night, Holy Night. Silent
Night. Let's all
night, stand. Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly heavenly peace.
Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Miss Karen, don't forget church tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget Christmas candlelight service back here on Wednesday at 5 p.m. It's 2 hours earlier than what we normally do. I hope to see you tonight. Hope to see you Wednesday. Merry Christmas. God bless us.